Folks, welcome back to the Humble Coach Podcast. My name is Pádraic. I am joined today by a very strong and really well-renowned nutrition coach in Adi Kazeyu. Adi, thanks for joining me.
No problem. Thanks for having me. I'm excited.
Good stuff. So Adi, I suppose a lot of people may know you as you're even before like your pre-marriage name of Adi Zoukier. But a lot of people may not actually know who you are because you would work with some very, very high level athletes in the sport of CrossFit and a number of other areas, but you would also work with regular people on a regular basis as well. So could you give us a little bit of background on yourself and maybe even how you kind of got into either nutrition coaching or just coaching in general?
The perfect pronunciation of my name, which gets messed up all the time.
Is my apologies.
No, it's okay. I'm like so used to it. It's Adi Kazeyu. The Kazeyu is my husband's last name. Mm-hmm. So he's from Louisiana. So that's a little bit of Cajun French there. Mm-hmm. And my maiden name is Zucker. And I come from Canada. I mm-hmm. grew up in Toronto, Canada. And growing up, I was definitely overweight mm-hmm. and struggled with body image a lot. And to the point where I couldn't even participate in a lot of sports that I loved anymore. And for those of you that know figure skating, it's like your body weight to power ratio that gets out of whack. You can't jump as high. You can't do as many tricks. Mm-hmm. Same with slalom skiing. You can't really get out of the water as well. So I ended up getting prompted to see a nutritionist from my mother, mm-hmm. and that completely changed my life. So I lost 45 to 50 pounds in the span of 5 months. And then from there, fell in love with CrossFit, mm-hmm. and that was in 2009 or 2010.
Okay.
And I also competed as a competitive Olympic style weightlifter. And that's really when Working Against Gravity, my nutrition coaching company, started, was when I was cutting from the 69 kilo class to the 63 kilo class. Mm-hmm. And I was getting stronger at the same time. And a lot of people think that's not supposed to happen. You know, you get bigger and stronger, you don't get smaller and stronger. Yeah. So people started reaching out to me and asking for help, and it's been 3 years now, so it's pretty exciting.
Super stuff. So I suppose, yeah, like a good bit of it of the orientation towards nutrition is a personal account of really, really big progress that you made in your own body image and your own actual weight loss. So, yeah, do you find that your current actually dealings with people, and be it high level athletes or regular people, is that continuously reinforcing your actual interests in your nutrition coaching, or are you, like, not that you would ever get tired of it, but does it reinforce it on a very consistent basis for you?
Yeah. Or do I,
and are you like, yeah, I think, yeah, exactly. And are you like, I suppose, because we'd say with your company Working Against Gravity, it's been in operation a number of years, but like that, it would, in a general scheme, it may seem like, it's a relatively youngish kind of company, and you have lots and lots available to do. I think from like the gym I work in, I look at it and we've been like open for maybe nearly 5 years, but I look at a lot of other places and I'm like, wow, these guys, we could be open for much longer time, and we have so much good work to do. And I'm actually really excited by that. So I'm sure you're in the same boat.
To an extent. I like to say that we're operating at like 20% of capacity. So we have like 80% of growth still to go.
Wow.
And I'm not sure we'll ever get to 100%, but I do a lot of, since the company's evolved, a lot of my work has strayed necessarily from actually coaching nutrition. So I do still coach around 25 athletes and friends. Mm-hmm. And so I do still stay connected to coaching nutrition, which I love it. I mean, it's completely different. You never know what's going to happen. It's every single person is different. We mm-hmm. do not use a one-size-fits-all approach. It's really about like problem solving and compassion and kindness and empathy and all things that I love. So I really love connecting with people, and I don't think I'm ever really going to get tired of that. Mm-hmm. But it really is, the majority of my time is spent on helping my team, growing the team, creating community in the team, figuring out what kind of impact we can have in the world, mm-hmm. and what our next steps are going to be. And for me, that's like so exciting. I mean, this, there's certain areas of the job that are not as exciting. Yeah. I mean, I'm not like super pumped every time my accountant calls, but the rest of it's generally fun, like 95% of the time.
Great stuff. Great stuff. Just on that, like exactly, like the, we would all have our kind of interest. I think I'm not necessarily a business owner, but I'm definitely, I'm much more oriented towards coaching. I don't know, I gravitate towards that. I'm just better at it, I think, really sometimes. Do you have a particular most enjoyable part of your job at the moment? Is it like that, the actual dealing with your team and trying to really build them and build their progress and their ability to work with individuals? Or do you kind of miss the detailed nutrition coaching on a very big level for yourself?
My favorite part of my job right now is I really love brainstorming on how to create more value in the program that we currently offer. Mm-hmm. So what is it that we can offer? What are the clients like missing? So mm-hmm. what can I add to the program that's going to make people be more successful, help them get more educated, or achieve some type of transformation in their life that we're not already offering? Mm-hmm. So that could be revamping things and making them higher quality. It could be updating our education. It could be updating the coaches' education, mm-hmm. Creating a mobile app. It could be creating video series, webinars. That's what's so exciting for me, is just where are we not doing the best that we possibly can right now, mm-hmm. and which areas of the program can continue to evolve, because I think there's so much out there we can do, and that's like my favorite part of this job.
Yeah, it's very, very interesting. On that, I suppose you, and I think with the advent of our kind of much bigger boom in social media, and also definitely in the CrossFit world and in the nutrition world, there's a huge amount more, I suppose, ability to make really, really good progress. I know I had Jordan Syed on, who's Gary Vaynerchuk's coach, a couple of months back, and he was talking about his strategy for education and nutrition coaching and general coaching. And that's one of the biggest things, I think, that is there a particular, be it platforms, or like you talked about webinars, or you talked about seminars and stuff there. Have you a particular favorite type of medium to work through or instruct through? I know you do, you're part of the Brute Strength team as well, for instructing their nutrition kind of areas as well. Is there any particular, like, are you a big Instagram fan? Are you a big Facebook fan? Are you a big video fan? Are you?
Oh gosh. I mean, as a user, I love Instagram. Like, just for me personally, I love Instagram. I think that there are things that Instagram can't do that Facebook can do, which makes Facebook exciting in certain kinds of ways. I do have an amazing tech team. So we have a full, we have 3 developers that are constantly working to develop our own software. Okay, cool. So I find that part of the business really exciting. Mm-hmm. I like Zoom. We're talking to each other on Zoom right now. It's a video conferencing platform that allows you to have many different users on at the same time. And I think it's like super simple and visually appealing.
It's very, very easy, yeah.
That allows you to record it. You can also like broadcast that onto a Facebook Live. Like, there's so many things that you can do.
That's fantastic.
Those are probably my favorite. I'm not like I think if I had a weakness, marketing would be my weakness.
Oh, really?
It's definitely not my strength, that's for sure. No. So I need a lot of help when it comes to that kind of thing.
Well, that's okay. I think you're getting there pretty well. I wouldn't panic too much. I suppose the next kind of thing, at the moment, you, like I was saying, you have a stable of considerably strong athletes in the CrossFit world and a number of regular athletes. Do you find that there's any particular challenges in working with the different types of people? Do do you have any ideas on for coaches that may be working with kind of prospective high level athletes? Anything to keep an eye on that you have found has helped you do a better job with them?
Yeah, so I think the one thing that is my favorite part of working with elite level athletes mm-hmm. is that you get to realize how human they really are.
Yeah.
So it's just amazing when you're working with like Katrin David's daughter, who's won the CrossFit Games 2 years, or mm-hmm. Brooke Entz, who's like bigger than life.
Yeah.
And you're just, they're just human. Like they're totally human. They're they're dealing with the same problems I'm dealing with. They're having the same insecurities you have. They struggle with food the same way that you do. The only thing that I think that differentiates them from me or like a regular person is they have this like really strong purpose for a particular type of hobby. Mm-hmm. And most people don't have that per se. So they're treating themselves like they are professional athletes. Mm-hmm. So they dial in, they have this really strong motivation to dial in every single aspect of their lives. Mm-hmm. So sometimes it's a little bit easier to work with them, but then at the same time, they can also take things to the extreme. So any type of, they're extreme individuals. They're doing really extreme things to their body. And I think if you're going to watch out for one thing is to make sure that they're not going extreme in things that might be detrimental to their health, whether that's trying to achieve a physique that's too lean for their sport, or, you know, getting some extreme tendencies around food, maybe a little bit in the more negative direction. So just constantly having an open communication and creating a safe place where they can have those communications with you is really, really, really important. And then just remembering that they're human, like not to have crazy high expectations on like, oh my God, you messed up. Like your season is going to go to shit. Like that's not true. Yeah. And they're also just human. Like Katrin's a 24-year-old or 25-year-old girl, you know, she's just figuring it out. Just like we were all figuring it out at that age. So
absolutely.
I think it's just important to remember that in general, they're just human.
Yeah, I think that's one of the really interesting things. I've been doing CrossFit since about 2008, but over the last number of years, seeing the likes of Katrin and seeing and reading about like Brooke Entz, and even the likes of like Cara and Tia and all these other kind of characters that are you're doing a lot of really, really fantastic work. It shows that I think there was a stage in the CrossFit world a few years ago where there was a lot of extreme orientations kind of kicking around, and there was a lot of new stuff kind of bubbling up. And people were trying a lot of stuff or like different protocols, things like that, that might have been a little bit more aggressive than were needed for their health and for their actual ability in their competitions. I know you have definitely done some significant work with those guys on that. And they definitely seem to have a much healthier attitude to their actual nutrition and the way they're dealing with it. I think that's one of the good things, because that can filter into working with regular people. And once they acknowledge that it is just much more of a process driven type of a thing rather than just your kind of 4-week challenge or your kind of blasting through little aggressive kind of pushes towards. Could you speak a little bit on that? Are you much more of a fan of the process oriented and longevity oriented scenario, or do you kind of like the 6-week challenges here and there?
So I don't like challenges. Mm-hmm. General, just as a rule of thumb, I think it's kind of like a thing that you're on or you're off, which is not generally what, like, it ends at some point. So like what happens when the challenge ends? Like that's just not not my style. I can see how it's super motivating and it can really like help people snap out of certain behaviors. Like it gives them like a community to be a part of, a group to be accountable to.
Yeah.
And I think it's like a great way to push yourself. I do like, you know, like a 30-day challenge for like trying a new hobby or trying a new sport or trying, you know, maybe it's like cutting out sugar. Like I can see a time and a place for that.
Yeah.
But I prefer it when people are reflecting on it and using the things that they're learning from it to implement into their life long term. I don't like hate challenges. It's just not the style that I use. I think that people see tons of success. I know somebody who does a 30-day challenge every 30 days to do something new. Like 30-day challenge challenge to try meditation, 30-day challenge to try dancing, like whatever it is. And I think that that's like really cool because it gives you like a time frame to try something new and takes around probably that amount of time to even like get used to something or make it into a habit or whatever it is or learn from it.
Absolutely.
But I do like, I think that having process and outcome driven goals are both incredibly important at the same time. And I think that one thing we can learn from these elite level athletes is just because they're professionals and they're getting paid for what they do, or they're getting this notoriety from what they do and competing and all that, doesn't mean that you can't live life like very similar to what they do. Like, you can be a professional human, you know, like you can just be professional at life. And you can also do the things that they're doing, and that's going to make you happier, healthier, more confident, more productive at work, more efficient, more successful, a better parent, a better wife, or a better husband. Like, you can be a professional at all of those things. I think that we can definitely learn from them that it's not reserved just for professional athletes to dial in your nutrition or your sleep habits or recovery. Like, everyone can do that. Like, why not?
Yeah. I think that's fantastic, that mentality. And I think it's becoming more and more common. I know even the people that I would work in our gym, and once we kind of allow them and we give them the encouragement that they can handle a lot of these things, like they can make that really, really significant progress. And then once they get a bit of a taste for that, they run with it, and they can, then it's just a case of actually managing their expectations a little bit and just tempering them here and there and just kind of guiding them. But it's a really, really nice thing to see somebody actually taking good ownership of their own lives in that kind of a context. It's fantastic to see.
Everyone dreams of being a professional in something, right? And then you're like, oh, I'm just not going to be. It's like, well, you can get all of the good feelings of all the things they do in your life.
Exactly. This is a question from one of the listeners. Is there a particular tick the box type of principle or a concept that you like using when working with certain clients as to what would work best for them? So do you have any particular kind of tricks up your sleeve that work really, really well, or do you just find that it's very much individual based, and then you have to kind of take the person at face value and analyze them from there rather than having overarching principles? I know we'd say, for example, your company would distinctly work towards macronutrients, adjustment and counting and organizing, and by basing a little bit more towards that. But you spoke about it earlier. Do you believe that it's definitely a distinctly individual oriented type of a conversation to have?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's individual on so many different levels, like not just from the nutrition science, but from the psychology, from the behavior, from your lifestyle. Like, it's completely, completely individual to your genetics and like what's going to make you feel a certain way. There is no one size fits all approach. It's just not possible. And even though we use tracking your macros, but if you sign up for a program and that doesn't work for you, we will do something different. Yeah. Like, our coaches will work with you to do something completely different. It's more, we use that framework to build awareness around what it is you're actually eating, because most people don't really know what they're actually eating. So if you have to account for it and track it, then you get this, all of a sudden, this view of, oh my gosh, I didn't even realize I was eating that. And then it just brings awareness to what you're eating. And when you have awareness, that's the only time that you can start making change. So my favorite quote of all time is, the extent to which you are unconscious of a habit is the extent to which it persists. And if you're just totally unaware of your habits, there's no way you could possibly change it. It's going to stay there. So we're just really just not telling you what to do. We're not here to convince you or persuade you to change in a specific way. We're more here to like be a mirror and reflect what's going on and help guide you, give you suggestions of what has worked for a lot of people that are similar to you, but open to the idea that we could be totally wrong at the same time. And what we think would work for you might not work for you, and that's totally okay. And we're willing to bend. Like, a diet that doesn't bend is going to break. So if there really is no one-size-fits-all approach, but I do believe that there's some overarching things you can keep in mind.
Yes.
Like, one would be to eat mostly whole, real food, and I think you can really take that to the extreme. Like, you can go, what is real food? Like, you can get really specific about that, but I would just keep it, like, mostly, like, as limited processing as possible, limiting refined sugars as much as possible, and eating, you know, grass-fed, locally sourced proteins, and drinking lots of water, and being physically active. Like, those things are just all great things, like, principles. We all know those things. Like, everyone listening who wants to lose weight, gain weight, whatever it is, you know already in you all the reasons you want to change and all the reasons you don't want to change. Like, you know. They're both there. We all have something like that where we're like, there's so many reasons why I want to make this change, but also pizza, you know?
So, completely.
Like, we all have that. So it's really like, it's not those types of principles, I think, are have stood true for the test of time. Mm-hmm. I think all the other things are up for grabs. I think in 10, 15 years, we're going to be thinking something like, how could we possibly believe this was true today?
Very true, very true. Yeah, completely. I suppose we're getting a few more questions now for you, Eddie. I won't keep you too long. But regarding kind of coaches or people who are just getting into nutrition coaching and they may be attached to a gym or a facility or something like that, do you have any thoughts on good business practices for them to kind of get started looking at your own kind of overarching, I suppose, managerial type role at the moment? Do you have any recommendations for people kind of getting started in nutrition coaching or even the business of it? Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, so I get asked this question a lot, actually.
Okay, sorry.
I really love this question. Okay. I think that anytime someone has ever come to me asking for business advice, they always, generally, almost always, are like, well, how do I scale?
Yes.
Like, how do I make this bigger? How do I make this better? Like, how do I grow faster? But you're missing this, like, really vital piece of your business, which is the customers that you already have.
Yeah.
And I would really focus, I would think about doing things, first of all, not trying to be perfect. So there's a really great podcast called Masters of Scale, and there's an episode with Mark Zuckerberg, and he talks about how if you're not embarrassed by the first time you launch something, like the first time you launch it, then you launched it, you didn't launch it soon enough.
Yeah.
And like, you should be embarrassed by it the first time.
Yeah.
Like, when I look back at Working Against Gravity in 2015-14, I'm like, oh my gosh, what were we thinking? But you really just have to take action and do things.
Yeah.
So try not to be too perfect. Also, ask for feedback constantly. Like, you don't know anything. That's you don't know anything. Yeah. Like, you, everything is up for grabs. Ask for feedback from everybody, especially your customers. Like, ask them for feedback. Don't be afraid that it's going to hurt your feelings, because you'd rather them say it to your face than post it on Reddit and tell the world.
Very true.
Reddit is a scary place. So that's key. And then also do things first that are not necessarily scalable. Like, you know, maybe it's not scalable to call every single one of your members and ask them how they're feeling, or, you know, if they didn't check in, or like, maybe that's not something you could do long term. But because you can do it now, you're going to learn a lot from it.
Yeah.
So, like, I wish I could go back and do certain things that I didn't do, that I think I would have learned. It would have saved me from making a bunch of mistakes, because you're not your customer and you're really looking at it from a different lens. Mm-hmm. So really just focus on creating something that's really valuable. It's not, I really truly believe that in most cases, money is a function of the value that you create. Mm-hmm. And therefore, if you create something that's really valuable, then money's going to come. So you don't, and you'll be more fulfilled too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, you'll be happier and more fulfilled. So if the money doesn't come, you'll still be happy. I think in most cases, you'll be okay. Like, you will.
Yeah.
And you'll be so happy because you're really making an impact in the world.
Absolutely, absolutely. I suppose the next kind of couple of questions really are on trends that you would have seen over the last number of years, being in the sport of CrossFit in particular. Have you seen any particular big changes, or that you have, like, even working with those athletes, is it just a better mentality towards their professionalism that's been growing, that has improved their quality of life in general? Or have you found that just those simple overarching themes of drink more water, make sure we're trying to improve the actual base quality of our foods, has that been a real deal breaker in actually trying to really make big, big progress with the regular clients that you may have dealt with? Do you find that that's the biggest thing, is that simplicity of approach and the individuality of the approach? Has that been the biggest success for you working with your clients?
So I heard two questions.
Sorry.
There, so just saying, no, it's okay. The first question was like the changes in CrossFit,
yes,
over time. Mm-hmm. So have I seen like any major trends change, or is it just the professionalism that's changed?
Mm-hmm.
And then the second question, just clarify for me the second part of that question.
So the second question then would be, have you noticed any with maybe your more regular clients, have you noticed any particular areas that have been much easier, have seen much more progress, like that, even the education of a more straightforward macro nutrient tracking, have you found that to be hugely helpful for most people, or has there been pushback over the last number of kind of years on that?
Right. Okay, so the first question, mm-hmm. there's been some massive changes in CrossFit, like huge, huge changes,
mm-hmm.
not just in terms of the sport itself, mm-hmm. and like what these athletes are literally capable of. Like, it's pretty mind-boggling the volume that they're willing to handle,
huge.
That they're capable of handling, the like, not just the volume that they can handle, but still performing at such a high level and doing things like on day three of the CrossFit Games that none of us can do. Like, it's just absolutely unbelievable.
Completely.
The sport's completely changed. I think with that has brought a huge amount of sponsorships and companies that are sponsoring athletes and giving them the opportunity to do this professionally,
mm-hmm.
which I think is incredible. And then I also think that's incentivizing way more people to make the pool of people ready to compete deeper.
Mm-hmm.
So it's harder to make it to the CrossFit Games.
Yeah.
It's so hard to make it to regionals. It's like it's just the pool is deeper. So now people can really focus on they're learning from the past couple of years, and they're seeing, you know, where can I tweak things to get just that little bit better?
Mm-hmm.
You don't often find a CrossFit Games athlete these days that doesn't have a coach.
Yeah.
You, the top level CrossFit Games athletes not only have a coach, they have an endurance coach. Some of them have like a running and a rowing coach and a swimming coach. They have a nutrition coach. They have, it's kind of like the NFL.
Yeah.
Like, you have your offensive coach, your defense coach, your mm-hmm. quarterback coach. Like, you got a coach, a strength and conditioning coach, you got your rehab people,
mm-hmm.
like, they all have that, and it doesn't mean that you need that, but it's helping them, for sure, and it's just taking the sport to this level of professionalism that's just amazing. I think it's awesome.
Absolutely, so absolutely.
That's totally changed. I mean, they're kind of becoming like little celebrities.
They
are
indeed.
She was just in the Justice League.
Yeah.
Like, she got right behind me in our video on the cover of Oxygen magazine. Like, how cool is that? Like, just honestly, it's just incredible. Like, it's just such a cool thing.
Great.
And things that have made it more successful for our clients.
Mm-hmm.
What I love about the CrossFit community is it is scalable to anybody.
Yeah.
So that's really the approach that we've taken, and we continue. I think sometimes we get lumped into this category of companies that use macro tracking, and that's all we do, and what we do is flexible dieting, and that's not necessarily 100% true.
Mm-hmm.
We really do try to take the approach similar to CrossFit, where this is the prescribed workout,
mm-hmm.
and you can scale to whatever is going to work for you.
Mm-hmm.
So if that means like you don't even weigh and measure your food, and we're just trying to like check in with me every single week,
mm-hmm.
and be accountable to somebody for your nutrition and your fitness, that's cool. Like, we're just trying to take baby steps in a specific direction.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the biggest game changer of why we've seen a lot of success is really just the coaching aspect.
Mm-hmm.
And our coaches are all well-practiced on almost life coaching, I would say.
Yeah.
A lot of compassion, kindness, creating a safe and judgment-free place for, you know, a lot of people don't even have anywhere they can go to that's just for them.
Yeah.
Like, we are just for you. Totally, this is 100% zero kind of relationship. Mm-hmm. Like, we are 100% here to help you achieve whatever it is you want to achieve. And we'll bend over backwards to try and make this work and help you see some level of success. And a lot of people just don't have that in other areas of their life. You know, whether you have maybe you have 3 kids and that's your job and mm-hmm. you're dedicated to helping them and you just don't have a space that's only for you.
Yeah.
So this is that space for a lot of people.
Good stuff. Excellent. Excellent. So I'm going to give you, this is going to be a bit of a strange one. Well, maybe not actually in the context of what we're talking about, but do you have a favorite go-to breakfast, lunch or dinner?
Yes.
Talk to me.
All of them. I love food. Like, I am still that fat 16-year-old girl. Like, I love food so much. My favorite breakfast in the world is, I swear, this is my favorite breakfast, but bacon mixed with Brussels sprouts. Cook the bacon first. It's got to get a little bit crispy first. Then you add the Brussels sprouts so they get soft with the bacon. And then an egg white scramble with a ton of veggies. So peppers, onions, tomatoes. I like putting green onions in there. Yes. I like adding some kale. I like all sorts of vegetables in my breakfast.
Love it.
That's definitely my favorite. Or maybe shakshuka. And if anyone doesn't know what shakshuka is, like tomato stew, basically, with eggs poached in the stew.
So good.
I love that.
Amazing.
I do love a runny yolk. Like,
yeah.
Yolk, a soft yolk is just really good.
It's the way to go, yeah.
For lunch, my favorite, have you ever had tortilla soup?
Yeah.
Like chicken tortilla soup?
Mm.
I love chicken tortilla soup.
Very good.
Hot, spicy, a little bit of crunchy, like that. And then my favorite dinner right now is poke.
Nice.
It's like ahi tuna with rice and seaweed and ginger and some kombucha to wash it down. Like, that's just, I can eat poke. I go through phases, but right now I'm like really down with poke. It's really good.
Good stuff. Excellent. I don't know if we can get it in Ireland, but we'll see.
I like variety.
Yeah. Good stuff. Do you have a next step for your own coaching development? Are you looking at any particular avenues? I know, like you were talking about, the CrossFit crew will have their own individual coaches or their own specific coaches. Is there any particular area you're looking to go in and in a particular direction in the next while?
For my coaching?
Or your own, like even for business or things like that?
Yeah, I really want to start finding ways to scale nutrition for different people of different walks of life. So I really believe that there's not a one size fits all, but I think you can have a really big impact on somebody if you just meet them where they're at. So I think sometimes if you have a one size fits all, you're going to get this person that wants to change.
Mm-hmm.
And wanting to change is like a really vulnerable place to be. Like, you're not happy with where you're at. You're ready to commit to doing something different. And then you try something different and you're like, maybe let down by it, or it's too overwhelming for you.
Mm-hmm.
So refining the process of like meeting someone where they're at, even if it's not the perfect place to be for them, mm-hmm. or like the most optimal for whatever it is, at least just sparking that change and giving them the confidence that they can mm-hmm. change. Because a lot of people don't believe they can. Like, a lot of people are like, I've tried everything in the world, nothing's going to work for me.
Mm-hmm.
I know that's not true. Like, I know that's not true. So just really, I think the next step for us is understanding more behavior compliance, the right questions to ask, the right way to assess somebody digitally, because we're mm-hmm. completely digital,
yeah.
but where they're at right now, to find the best and most likely starting point to like trigger and ignite that feeling of progress.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like, it's almost like a drug, you know, like you feel that, like, I call it progress juice. It's like a squirt of progress juice, and you're just like, I need to keep doing this.
So, great stuff. Excellent.
Just doing that in the direction of health and wellness and fitness. Yeah. And I think that's definitely like where my focus is going to be. And I'm also always interested in learning more science, nutrition, research, and that's so, like, it's overwhelming how much there is out there.
Absolutely,
like,
yeah.
And different opinions and different, it's just crazy. So yeah,
that's great stuff. Excellent.
Be humble and knowing that I can't learn everything.
Exactly. But we can, there's still time, so we can do a bit of damage. We can do a bit.
Yes.
Two final questions, or well, kind of one final question, I suppose, Eddie. Do you have a favorite book at the moment, or a favorite coach at the moment?
So, my favorite book, I just finished The Ender's Game.
Nice.
Fiction book. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's one of those books that like, kind of like Harry Potter, like pulls you in, sucks you in, you're stuck in this world. Sure. I loved it. It was so good. The Ender's Game. I also a nutrition related book I just finished called The Hungry Brain.
Nice.
That one's really good. Mm-hmm. What else? Those are my favorite books right now. Okay. And then my favorite coach.
Mm.
Oh, I have so many good coaches in my life. I have a lot. I mean, my favorite's my husband. He's like a constant coach for me. Excellent. Completely transformed my life since I met him.
Mm-hmm.
So he coaches me in all areas of life, but I think my favorite coach right now, we have my husband and I work with a lady named Annie Lala.
Mm-hmm.
And she's a love expert.
Nice.
We met her kind of by accident. Mm-hmm. And she gives us a safe place to talk about our relationship and how to I mean, we don't have, like, glaring problems in our relationship, mm-hmm. which I think was, like, exciting as to, like, when we started working with her. Just, like, how could we make things even better?
Mm-hmm.
But it's cool to be in a relationship where you get to talk to someone like that even when nothing's, like, crazy wrong.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's brilliant.
I love coaching in general. Like, people think, like, when you're a coach, you don't need a coach. Like, I need all sorts of coaches. I need a coach for cooking. I need a coach for my relationships. I have a business coach. I have a nutrition coach who helps me with my nutrition.
Mm-hmm.
I have a business coach. I have a fitness coach, like my coach at the gym.
Yeah.
Like, I have coaches for all sorts of things.
Great stuff. I think it's super, I agree, it's super important. It's super important.
But, like, I think people underestimate, like, how much energy and space it takes up being your own coach.
That's so challenging.
Yeah, when you have a coach who's like, oh, that's my coach at the gym, I don't even have to think about what my workout's going to be. I don't have to think about, like, am I going to be making progress? All I have to do is show up and do the work.
Yeah.
It's the same with business. It's the same with, like, just do the work, but you have this, like, person to take some of that stress off of you.
Yeah.
So you really have to, you got all this space if you have a coach. Like,
exactly. I think exactly like that, you have so much space to develop because – like that, like you were saying, you're surrounded by coaches, and like the Brute Strength team is phenomenal. You've got Adrian Conway, you've got a superstar lineup of coaches, along with really, really good feedback vessels as the actual main athletes, like some of the most phenomenal athletes in the world at the moment. And I definitely it's only encouraging people, and encouraging me, I think, to try and really continue looking for more coaches like that, business coaches or love coaches or whatever it is. It's fantastic to see. Eddie, have you any final thoughts, any final recommendations for us kind of regular old coaches that are trying to do our best? Anything in particular that you kind of would like to get coaches to kind of push in more of a direction of? Is it more empathy? Is it more scalability or an analysis of that kind of thing, or any particular points?
Yeah, I was just reading a book also. I read a lot of books on motivational interviewing.
Mm-hmm.
And it talks about something called the writing reflex. And mm-hmm. I think a lot of coaches suffer from this, so it might be a useful little tidbit.
Okay.
But this thing is, the writing reflex is basically when you're an expert in something or you're, this is your area of expertise, and you see someone comes to you for help,
mm-hmm.
and you're, of course, you're in the service industry to help other people because you have all these altruistic things you want to do, and you really just are there to help others, and you
mm-hmm.
see them heading down a path they shouldn't be heading, and you know.
Yeah.
Like, you know they shouldn't be going that way. That's not how they're going to get to their goals.
Mm-hmm.
So you're like, I'm going to step in. I'm going to step in and I'm going to tell them, you know, like, that's not the right way to go. Like, yeah. This is where you need to go. And that's often how you want it to go is you're working with somebody, you see somebody who's maybe suffering from alcoholism, mm-hmm. and they're like really dependent on alcohol. And you go up to them and you're like, you know, your alcohol problem is it's a real problem. It's going to lead to liver cirrhosis. And, you know, you might get like some serious health consequences from this. And what you want to happen is for them to be like, you're so right. I'm going to stop drinking now. And that's never like rarely the case. Like that is not, they already know the yeah. things that you're saying. They know. Mm-hmm. So instead, what's probably going to happen is you're now telling, like, you're pushing one side of something that they already know. They're going to start defending the other side.
Yeah.
And they're saying, no, I don't have a problem. I totally got this under control. I could stop right now if I wanted to. And then you're getting the opposite of what you actually want.
Yeah.
So coaches need to understand, like, your job is not to convince and persuade someone to change their mm-hmm. life. Like, that's not going to work. Instead, maybe becoming a little bit humble and knowing that you're both experts in this situation.
Yeah.
You're the expert on what you do and they're the expert on them. Mm-hmm. So understanding you both have some really valuable stuff to bring to the table and knowing that you're not going to convince them or persuade them and instead just ask questions and listen to them and be there for them. And sometimes that means letting them just make mistakes.
Yeah.
And not just, you can't convince anyone to change. So that's probably my words of wisdom.
Awesome stuff. That's yeah. that's awesome. Awesome, Eddie. Brilliant. Eddie, where can people find you? So you have workingagainstgravity.com is your main company. Anywhere else in particular that we can kind of find you? Are you on all the usual social media bits and pieces?
Yes. Great all stuff. The usual social media, Instagram, Facebook. We don't really use Twitter. Sorry. Working Against Gravity is where you can find my company. And then I would be Adee Kazhu, super crazy spelling, AdeeCazayoux. And that's pretty much where you can find me. And you can join our program. And if you're looking to make any type of changes with your nutrition or fitness or just have somebody to be there for you, and we're the place, we're a safe place for you to be, for sure.
Super stuff. Well, thank you so much, Eddie, for joining me. That was a fantastic episode. Loads of really, really nice take-homes there. So that's really, really appreciated. So thank you so much for joining us.
No problem. Thank you for having me. It was awesome.